thank God for what he's doing for us now and how he's navigating us through the journey we call life. I'm reminded of David. David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil because God is with me." And certainly that ought to be our testimony. It ought to be our witness that we're not alone. God is with us. And because he's with us, he's more than the whole world against us. I do want to greet you in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just good for us to be alive. We've been prayed for. We've been devoted through the devotional period of our dear Deacon, Deacon McLean. And certainly I thank God for him. So good to see Reverend Pope, Reverend McCoy, Sister Fluker, Brother Joe Evans, and Brother McShan. And it's good for me tonight to have with me my wife, Lady Rogers. Amen. Amen. Good to have you online and through the virtual system, through the media. We do ask that you pray for us as we pray for you, that God will give us spiritual connection, that we can hear him speak to us. And we'll do as the psalmist, hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against the Lord. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Before I read it, I must admit that this particular passage has been one of the most heart-stirring passages that I've ever read, and frightening passages, because most of us, if not all of us, want to avoid such a subject of final judgment or judgment day. But as we look at the word, we see that this is a part of Holy Scripture, and we are to believe all of it, and if not believing of all of it, we believe none of it. And so this is a part of the Holy Writ. Jesus said, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Brothers and sisters, God will judge false prophets and counterfeit Christians on Judgment Day. both will be sentenced to suffer eternal damnation. Eternal damnation is a subject that is considered repulsive, and it is rejected by many. And it is rejected by many people because many have taught alternative theories. One theory that counters the teaching of eternal damnation is universalism. Universalism says that everyone will eventually make it to heaven, irregardless of what your faith is, regardless of what you believe and who you believe in. That's to say that even people who deny Christ, even people who deny the existence of Christ, people who deny the coming of Christ, will be saved at the end. Universalism, that everybody, regardless of faith, regardless of belief, will make it in. Another theory is annihilationism, which acknowledges the existence of hell, but its eternal nature is denied. Now, understand that the teaching of Jesus does not support universalism or annihilationism. Jesus teaches unflinchingly and boldly that eternal damnation will take place. There will be a day of judgment. Matter of fact, as we look at the Word of God, particularly Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, that at the end there will be a harvest. And he will tell the reapers to first gather the weeds and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. Day of judgment. That there will be a separation. There will be punishment for those who reject him, those who live their lives wickedly and with disregard of his sacrificial death and disregard for his word. But not only in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, we also see Jesus' teaching of final judgment in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And let me read it for you. It says, when the Son of Man should come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick are in prison and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But he flips the side of the coin. He turns from the head to the tail. And then he says, Then shall he also say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Plainly said, that there will be a day of judgment, a day when the Lord will reward the righteous and the wicked. There will be a day of judgment. I don't care how many people in this modern age teach against this. Jesus himself, he teaches about eternal damnation. Hell does exist, and people are going to hell. We don't want them to go to hell, but they are going to hell. So Jesus is teaching to warn us about this place that we want to avoid, this place that was not created for us, designed for us, because right in Matthew chapter 25, it says that he prepared it for the devil and his angels. But he says, all who will not accept him as Lord and Savior will also have their place in this place of eternal damnation. The text comes on the heels of Jesus plainly warning us about false prophets. He tells us to watch out, to beware of false prophets. He says they come to us in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, but they can't bay like a sheep. They don't sound like a sheep, because a wolf can't sound like a sheep. They look like sheep. He reveals to us that false prophets are Christian predators. So he warns us about their teachings, their damnable teachings, their deception and deceitful teaching. He says, beware of. It comes on the heels of a warning. But here, it stands in close connection with the warning of the false prophets and their fruit. And he reveals, now he reveals what will become of them in the final judgment. He says the destiny of false prophets and counterfeit Christians is eternal damnation. Jesus in verse 21 says, not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Let me suggest two things by the words Lord, Lord. To say Lord, Lord, number one, is a profession. Lord, Lord means master, master. Notice Jesus calls himself Lord, and this is the first time you'll see in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus calls himself Lord. He says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. He calls himself Lord. Now, he's not saying that everybody accepts him as Lord. He's saying that many will say, Lord. You can call Jesus Lord under false presentation and false pretense. See, to call him Lord without faith in him, without being a friend of his, and without being in relationship with him is false presentation. You can acknowledge Jesus without having faith in him. I mean, both saved and sinners can say Jesus. And because you say Jesus doesn't mean that you have deposited your faith in Jesus. Or simply acknowledging that Jesus is Lord does not guarantee you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said many people will say, many people speak the name Christ Jesus out of their mouth, but their hearts are far from him. Their profession is action of belief, and they are not saved because they do not believe in him. They have the verbiage. They know how to talk about him. They know how to talk about him and call his name. But they have not deposited their faith. It takes more than just merely mentioning his name to be saved. Paul said, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, but he didn't leave it there. He says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it takes mouth and heart. Mouth and heart. Mouth proclaims. Heart believes. So it takes belief and proclamation. It takes both mouth and heart to be saved. So Jesus says, you can profess him without believing in him.
All right.
Not only does it suggest profession, but secondly, to say Lord, Lord is to call on the Lord in prayer. The Pharisees were excessively devoted to prayer, and they led people to believe that every prayerful man would be saved. That's why they made long prayers. That's why they love to be seen praying. Because they believe that every prayerful man would be saved. They're not the only ones guilty of this. Because there are a lot of people who pray only when they're in trouble. You're in trouble, you have done a crime, and you have to appear before the judge. All of a sudden, you know Jesus. You see an accident coming. You're about to be involved in it. All of a sudden, you know Jesus. You don't know him much outside of the court appearance, the accident. Financially scrapped, got more money than you got money, more bills than you got pay. All of a sudden, you know Jesus. You call his name. But you really don't know him. So you pray when you're in trouble, just like suggested here. You see that praying without the intentions of hearing God and doing God's will is futile. Because the primary purpose a prayer is not to change God or circumstances. The primary purpose of prayer is to change the person praying. So prayer or praying should change us or change you from self-will to God's will. A lot of people never change from self-will to God's will. So he says that this Lord can mean to call on the Lord in prayer without true intention, without righteous intention, without an intention of hearing God and doing God's will. So he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. I like this because Jesus added, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is not a contradiction of Scripture. Because this is not to suggest that we are saved by works. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves or yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by works. But understand this, Jesus is teaching here, reveals to us that true faith in him produces works. You don't work to be saved, but you work because you are saved. You work out of gratitude. And out of appreciation for the sacrifice of Christ, what he did for us, what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. When you think about where you were headed, and how he picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground and turned your life in a new direction. That you are no longer heaven or hell bound, but you are heaven bound. Gratitude ought to flood the heart. Faith in God, faith in Christ should produce works. He
has called us to work. That's why he talks about fruit, knowing them by fruit, knowing others by fruit. Because the faith that we have, the belief and confidence that we have in Christ should be seen in our lives, should be manifest in our lives. That as others look upon us, they should see the change that has been wrought in our lives through the working of the Holy Spirit. He makes us new creatures. And so we live a different way. We do different things. And we live with a desire to bring glory to the name of God. So we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. He says, we're saved to do the will of our Heavenly Father. My mind goes back to chapter 6 in the model prayer. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we are to do the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. He has called us from laboring for Satan to laboring for him. We are called from laboring for Satan to laboring for the Lord. So we don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. Jesus in verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Several things to note about the judgment. First of all, notice the population. He says, many will say. Many will say to me in that day. Now, the number of false prophets and counterfeit Christians is large. Now, look at Matthew chapter 7, again with me. And we're going back to verse 13. And it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many. Many. This is not, so in verse 22, it's not the first time that Jesus revealed that many people will be destroyed. He says, and many, verse 13 says, and many there be which goeth in thereat. So he says a whole lot of people are headed to destruction. Many, many. So it's a large number. He says only a few people are on the straight and narrow. So the population in judgment is many. That's why you can't busy your life and busy yourself with what everybody else is doing. I don't know about you, but I don't want what everybody else is going to get. I understand that you know, that there are only a few that's on the straight and narrow. And there are many that's on the wide and broad path. He says, many will say, population in judgment, many will say to me in that day. But then notice the point of judgment. Jesus simply calls it that day. He doesn't give us a month, a day, and year. He just simply says, that day. And that day refers to judgment day. There will be a day of final judgment. The Lord will judge the living and the dead. Several scriptures I want you to reference. Notice Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14. It says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God shall bring every work into judgment. Listen, write this somewhere on your sheet, if you will. Judgment delayed is not judgment denied. And he's judging everything. He's judging what people see and what people don't see. Because he talks about, Jesus talks about every work. Every work. Public and private work. Good or evil. Every work. Malachi 4:1 says, "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them." John the Baptist spoke of the need to flee from the coming wrath. In Luke chapter 3 verse 7. Jesus said in John chapter 5 verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming. In the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Paul wrote to the unrepentant, "Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath." He says, "When his righteous judgment will be received or revealed, God will repay each person according to what they have done." Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. There's a point. That day. Put that in your heart. There's a point of judgment. But then in the judgment, some people will have the audacity to profess their works at judgment as the reason they should enter into heaven. Lord, help me. There's a profession of many at judgment. False prophets and counterfeit Christians will profess their works as reasons to enter into heaven. Good works, doing good deeds, performing miracles, and preaching God's word does not guarantee you entrance into heaven. Paul said in Ephesians 2:9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Regarding works, they will profess their works. Mighty works is no proof of one's acceptance of God. Judas was an apostle and miracle worker. You remember when Jesus called his apostles, his disciples unto himself, and made them apostles and sent them out? He gave all 12 power. All 12 power to preach his word and to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to work many miracles. Judas was one of the 12. You remember Balaam? Balaam was a prophet, and he prophesied according to Numbers chapter 24. But his heart wasn't right with God. See, Judas and Balaam lacked the condition of the heart that aligns one with God. You are not saved by works. There can be mighty works without having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Notice the works, preaching and teaching in his name. The word prophesied does not refer to telling the future, but to preaching and teaching in the name of God and Jesus Christ. J.A. MacDonald said, "The truth, though ministered by ungodly men, may be made the power of God to the salvation of the hearer. The minister of saving truth may himself become a castaway." You can preach it and not believe it. I remember hearing the story from older pastors in Mississippi tell of a preacher that was on his dying bed. And he was getting ready to die, and he said that he had been preaching the word for years, but never had faith in it. Never believed it for himself. And on his dying bed, he wanted to be saved. I said last week that false prophets can mention the name Jesus, but that doesn't mean that they're saved. Counterfeit Christians can mention the name Jesus, but it doesn't mean that they are saved. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They tried to cast out demons in the name. And the demons spoke back to them, says, "Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you?" And they whipped them out of their clothes. And we're preaching. Preaching and teaching in his name. And Jesus will say, in that dreadful day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Paul even makes reference to this. Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest at any moment or by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Not only did they preach and teach, but they're casting out devils or demons by his name. I just made reference of Judas. Judas, by the name or mentioning of the name of Christ, cast out demons. But he couldn't overcome the demon that was in him. There will be many wonderful works by his name. Miracles, healing. You know, people with healing lines and sending you water, bottles, and doing mighty works. But he'll say to them, "I never knew you." Now, notice they are preaching in, doing the works by, casting out demons by his name. And the words "in" and "by" does not imply vital connection to Jesus. The revelation of Christ Christ is the instrument by which false prophets proclaim divine truths, cast out demons, and work miracles. However, Christ has no real connection with them. Hear me when I say this. Wicked lips can tell the truth. I said this a few weeks ago to one of the members. God is the only one I know who can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. He can take messed up folk and work his will. They will say, look at our works. Look at what we have done. Surely we deserve heaven. But not only is there regard, that are they are regarding their works, but notice there's a regarding reward. Their perceived reward is entrance into heaven. They're not going to heaven thinking that they're not getting in. They're not going to judgment thinking that they're going to be turned away. No, they believe that they are going to heaven after they are judged. Are y'all in here with me? So grace may bring a man to heaven without miracles, but miracles will never bring a man to heaven without grace, according to Henry. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. That's what this business is about. This is what this, you know, salvation is about, accepting Jesus Christ to be saved. Messed up people accepting Jesus Christ, and God will then take messed up people and straighten them out. Work on them day by day. Put them in the process of sanctification. Clean us up as old filthy rags and make us fit for eternal abode. That's what this thing is about. But none of us are saved by works. None of us will get to judgment and be able to brag on that day to say, God, you know, I saved thousands. I preached to millions. Lord, I fed hundreds of thousand people. Lord, I taught so many. None of us will be able to say that at judgment and gain entrance into heaven. We're not saved by works. The problem with this group, the many, is they don't have faith in Christ. They have deposited their faith in themselves and what they are doing. So you can be your own God. You can be so hung up on yourself where you don't have any space in your heart for God. You can worship yourself. Worship what you're doing. That's the picture. Lord, we were so caught up, we were so busy preaching and teaching, casting out demons, working miracles, that we really didn't have time to focus our hearts on Jesus Christ. Think about it, God. We were used of you because we mentioned the name. But we never accepted the person in whose name we mentioned. Feel like they earn the right. And listen, this is not a strange thing, because you got some people in church today. They think they have earned the right to be saved. That's why we do so much comparing of ourselves to other folk. Because we don't really factor in grace. You know, when you know you're saved by grace, you leave other folks alone. You know, think about it. When you know you're saved by grace and grace alone, you don't have time to be putting down others. You're just glad you're saved. Let me close with the pronouncement of Jesus in judgment. This is why this particular passage or pericope is so frightening. Verse 23, Jesus says, and then, after they have given this long laid out depiction of their accolades and accomplishments, after they have set their resume before the Lord, verse 23, Jesus says, and then will I profess to them, I never knew you. He didn't say, I used to know you. He says, but I never knew you. And then here it is. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. There's a dreadful saying. Jesus will say to false prophets and counterfeit Christians, I never knew you. In other words, I never had a personal relationship with you. I never approved you or recognized you. And then he goes on to say why. He says, the reason I don't recognize you and the reason I have never knew you or I've never known you is because you have always been on the opposite side. You were on the other team. You were playing against me. Because to work iniquity is to live a life as a lawbreaker. Come here. Come. Jesus says things like, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He says, but the many has decided to live their life as a lawbreaker. See, the people that live their life as a lawbreaker, the word of God means nothing to them. That's why you can't get into these long, drawn-out conversations with people, you know, using the word of God to help them see right, because they don't have regard for the word. They are lawbreakers. You bring up the word ought to correct the heart of a Christian. Correct the heart of a Christian. But when you bring the word up, if they put that butt in there, lawbreaker. I know what the word of God say, but lawbreaker. care how much you read it to them, share it with them, pray it over them. They do just the opposite of what it say. That's willful sin. That's not ignorant sin. That's intentional sin. Paul in Romans chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. That you don't live your life as a lawbreaker and try to cover up your rebellious heart with grace. He says, you have always been on the opposite side. Yeah, you went to church. Yeah, you sung on the choir. Yeah, you were a faithful tither. You dressed up and you even stood in the pulpit. But you did none of what my word said. You always came up with a reason to do what you wanted to do. Lawbreaker. He says, I told you to forgive. But instead of you forgiving, you're saying, well, I'm not ready yet. And you here lived a whole life of unforgiveness. Lawbreaker. Lawbreaker. Tell you to love your enemy. And instead of you loving your enemies, you hating your enemies like your enemies hating you. Lawbreaker. See, Jesus, through the Sermon on the Mount, he's trying to help us understand how important it is to be changed inside out. That when we are changed inside out, when we hear his word, we submit to his word. We stop fighting it. We stop rejecting it. We stop trying to come up with alternatives. And just submit to what it says. That's how he wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live our lives submitted to the word. That makes us true followers of Christ. But when we say we are followers, and we are not living our lives according to his agenda, but our own, we're false. Because a changed heart leads to changed conduct. Boy, thank you, Lord. He warns us of that dreadful day. Take it to heart. Believe his word. And choose to live your life by faith in Christ, submitted to his will. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this teaching session. We thank you for the confrontation, challenge to change us. Thank you for your word. Your word is a detergent that washes us, that helps us to be more like your son day by day. Thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, working on us to convict us of sin. Father, we want to live lives pleasing to you. We believe in your Son. We believe Jesus Christ is the only way to you. We believe that he died to pay the price, that we are delivered from sin slavery, satanic bondage, that he has delivered us from the auction block to forever free us. Thank you. I pray that as your word go forth, that it will be as you intend, that it will accomplish all that you intend for it to accomplish in the earth. Change hearts. Turn the lost in a new direction through Christ. Thank you. Be with us as we leave this place. Go before us. Encamp angels around us. Allow us to travel in safety, that we will make it to our humble abodes, and give us rest. Refresh us, that we can get up again and do this again. In Jesus' name, amen.